Hello, this is Martin Plicky. Welcome to In Park Treks. I'm here with a special guest this week. We have the one and only news editor for In Park magazine, Jordan Zuha. Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you, Martin. I'm so happy that we get to discuss some fun topics today regarding actually one of my favorite places.
That's right. We are talking about Walt Disney World and more specifically Epcot. And as you might have noticed from the title of this episode, we are going to be talking about four things, right? Something old.
Something new.
Something borrowed.
And something blue.
And so the first thing is something old. And so, Jordan, what could that possibly be?
Well, we mean it in the most loving of terms, but Epcot is actually going to be celebrating its 40th anniversary. We actually find ourselves at the crossroads of Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, which started last October in 2021, and Epcot's 40th anniversary, which begins this October in 2022. We're actually right smack dab in the middle. And so as the classic Epcot has grown to the beautifully young age of 40, it is receiving some new and updated experiences.
Right. So that's some of the new thing that we're going to talk about in just a minute is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which is coming right around the corner to guests visiting Epcot. A new attraction, completely new, nothing like it ever done before.
Also, we have something borrowed, which is Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, which made its debut at Walt Disney Studios Park in Disneyland Paris Resort, but made its way down here to Walt Disney World at the France Pavilion.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And then something blue, we're just going to have to wait till the end to see what that is, right?
I'm very, very excited. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind sort of bring into question and expand upon what does it mean to have a pavilion at Epcot? And both of these attractions really expand, reimagine, and remix that idea completely.
So I'm glad you mentioned Guardians. Let's actually start there. I think neither you nor I have ridden it yet, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Our very own Joe Kleiman, senior correspondent for In Park, will be there very soon for media previews. So stay tuned for more info on that as well. But for now, we're operating from a position of only wondering what's inside and only having limited information. Why don't you talk a little bit more about how the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction is expected to play into Epcot's storytelling history?
Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind is located in the former Future World section of Epcot, which has now been broken up into different neighborhoods. So its neighborhood is World Discovery, where you'll also find Mission Space. The idea of World Discovery being that you play and explore and see technologies that are possible or places that are possible. The building actually is inside of the former Universe of Energy Pavilion.
Well, that's really interesting because I know some people have questioned why that pavilion actually belongs in that part of the park.
From what we know so far, this attraction combines both ideas from the former Future World section and the current World Showcase section. So borrowing from the World Showcase section, it's an other World Showcase pavilion, according to Disney. So the idea is that, but despite it being in Future World, most of its inspiration actually comes from across the theme park from World Showcase. So Disney has actually called it an other World Showcase pavilion. The people of Xandar have come to this area to expose guests to their culture, to their world, to Earth-Xandar relationships, which borrows a lot from the sort of real-world culture sharing happening in World Showcase. Along with that, in the fictional world, of course, Xandarians have advanced technology. So they're also showing off and exposing guests to that technology within their pavilion, which fits within that World Discovery theme. As part of the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary celebrations, we at In Park actually got to speak to Alex Wright, a senior creative director at Walt Disney Imagineering, about the attraction.
The idea is that Xandar has come here just like other people might, you know, the countries of the World Showcase, for example, with an intent of sort of building community. And so this is about building community. It's about building a better future together. And so there's a technology component to that. There's a sort of an invitation that they're offering at this intergalactic community they want to welcome us into. So that's their motivation for being here. So that's really what kind of grounds it in Epcot.
That actually makes a lot of sense now. I know one of the things that people are talking about is the fact that this is a roller coaster in Epcot, right? It's a big deal.
Well, the two big headlines that are going on that don't really tell the story is that, yes, this is the first roller coaster in Epcot, and it's also the first reverse launch coaster in Walt Disney World. But beyond that, they connect it to their famous Omnimover system, in which you go through a dark ride and it points you at different scenes, kind of marrying past Disney technology with something new and unique that hasn't been done yet.
We've, over the years, been able to use our Omnimover systems in attractions like Haunted Mansion or Seas with Nemo and Friends to orient the guest toward the show and the story being told. Here we wanted to be able to do that at high speed and to be able to put that capability into a thrill attraction. And so that's like our biggest new tool that we have here. And it really does pay off in interesting ways. It allows us to lengthen a show scene beyond what you would normally have with a traditional coaster. It allows us to orient you towards something we want you to see, maybe away from a sight line that would not be a good one. Around that, we're kind of wrapping all of the things we've learned over the years in different ways, different attractions, to support the storytelling around it.
So just to clarify, the Omni Coaster is really just inspired by the Omni Mover, right?
That is correct. Mechanically, they're completely different. But what makes them the same is the ways in which they direct guest attention to show scenes.
Got it. I also understand that this is one of the longest enclosed coasters that Disney's done, right? Is that true?
That is correct. Yes. They are saying it might be the longest enclosed coaster to exist in a theme park. But that's not a record that they were trying to set by any means. Alex went into how they came about this, and it wasn't to hit a record. It was to support the story that they're telling.
It was a part of the mix. It was part of what we want to do. And what you get is the reality that this became just a massive attraction in order to tell all those beats along the way. When we use this phrase about it being one of the longest enclosed roller coaster systems, that wasn't a goal we set out to achieve. That was a byproduct of the story. So I'd say the discovery along the way on this one was just what it took to pay off on that promise.
Okay, so it's more about how the needs of storytelling and being able to fit the certain narrative points into the attraction necessitated having a longer experience.
That is correct. Which personally makes me very excited to experience this. I think it's going to be something kind of unique and special.
I think a lot of people are looking forward to it, and I know that I'm trying to avoid lots of spoilers, but I have heard that early reviews are very, very positive.
I know neither of us have ridden Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind yet, but there is a new attraction that both of us have ridden that is part of the celebration, and that's Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Last fall, as part of the proceedings, I know you got more in-depth coverage regarding that expansion in particular, and you got to ride it before anyone else. How was that experience?
Right. The media preview was great. It was a lot of fun. And I also had the opportunity to speak with Joe Vitale, who was production designer on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. So I got the full experience on the ride and then behind the scenes with Joe as well.
I would love to hear from you the perspective of the transformation that this attraction caused for the France Pavilion.
Sure. So one of the key things that Disney likes to point out is that it really doubled the size of the France Pavilion and really puts a big emphasis on that corner of the park in a way that is sort of exciting. It really is drawn from sort of a fictional, romanticized ideal of what Paris is that really was part of the film Ratatouille. And so it's like Pixar's version of Paris. And it's kind of what you want Paris to be. So you enter the pavilion from the World Showcase, Lagoon side right, and you see the Eiffel Tower, and the historical part of the pavilion that's been there since the park opened. And you've got the shops and the smells of crepes and beignets and all that. And then you kind of go around the corner to the new addition. And that's where it sort of transitions into the Pixar version. Actually, that's where I got to talk to Joe. And I should point out that we were standing near a fountain. So it's a little bit of fountain noise in the background. But he actually really explained more about that transition from real life Paris into Pixar's Paris.
Really, as we step right past this canopy that we're standing next to, is where we really transition into Pixar's Paris. And you'll see that the architecture really changes when you get there. One of the things we had to work on was color palette. So the sky is very different in Paris than it is in Florida. And we went through different iterations of color to figure out what was gonna work right here. And being an attraction about food, we really thought about the colors being appetizing.
Speaking about transitions, I know we're talking about the outside transitions into the attraction. But every time we talk about this attraction, there's a different kind of transition that you love and actually has to do with what you experience inside the attraction.
That's right. I was really impressed on the ride with how the media projections really blended in with the surrounding sets. The edges really disappeared. And I think that's a key marker of success for a media-based attraction. When you, as a guest or rider, are not really aware of where the edges of the screen are, then you're really immersed in the story. And part of that's the storytelling element, right? Like if you are engaged and interested. But part of it is the technology and the art design too, and how you blend the props and the scenic design with the media to really hide those edges. And I think that Remy's Ratatouille Adventure did a great job on it. In fact, when I got to speak with Joe, I asked him specifically about how they managed to do that.
There's a lot of back and forth with media and again, with color and perspective. So you have to think about when you're building all of those massive sets, how the perspective works with the media that's eventually going to be blended with, and how those colors are going to work blended, because you really want it to feel seamless. Of course, we start with scale models and work alongside with the media team, our paint team, and all of our scenery designers to get as close as we can. When we get into the field, there's always more tweaking to get it just right, especially with color.
Speaking about the surprise element of where's the screen versus where the set, I can also attest that when you ride the attraction, there's this feeling of surprise just being in the vehicle, which I guess was intentional, as you discovered.
Yes. So like normal enthusiast for the attractions, I'm like, I want to ride in the front car the first time. And then like the next time I'm going to go on car number 4. And then I wanted to try and get all the different experiences. But as I learned from Joe, it actually is kind of random, or at least appears random, which car goes to which spot in each scene. Actually, it was something that they experienced while they were testing the attraction before it opened.
While reviewing, as we're building, we wanted to check to make sure that all those perspectives are right and what every guest is going to see. So we took a lot of rides around in those vehicles, and the vehicles are random. So you never really get the same ride necessarily from the same location you leave in the load station. Okay. So sometimes it took multiple rides around to say, I want to be in the first car this time to see what guests are going to see, but you end up in the last car again.
So it's a really fun attraction and absolutely worthy of being borrowed from the Paris park and ported over to Walt Disney World. It was a good move on Imagineering's part, and it's really sweet ride.
I very much enjoy it.
So we've had something old, something new, something borrowed. What's left?
Something blue.
Yes, but unfortunately we're out of time this week, Jordan. We're going to have to save something blue for next week. But we can give people a little hint, right?
Like, what's bluer than the big blue sky?
The blue planet. And we're going to talk about that next week. We'll see you then, Jordan. Thanks for your help today.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
And thanks for listening to In Park Tracks.
This has been In Park Tracks, the audio companion to In Park Magazine. For more information and to sign up for a free subscription, visit inparkmagazine.com/subscribe. In Park Tracks is a production of In Park Magazine. Our executive producers are Philip Hernandez and Martin Palicki. Today's episode was recorded by Martin Palicki with Jordan Zuha and post-production by David Swope. Music used in this episode includes Adventures in Adventureland by Kevin MacLeod and Beauty Flow, also by Kevin MacLeod. The In Park staff includes Judith Rubin, Joe Kleiman, and Jordan Zuha.
So mechanically, there are two completely different ride systems. They're just looking at the pass, where it's one interconnected thing, to create separate coasters in which they're pointing at the scenes and directing guests' attention.
I found that confusing.
Okay. Like, what's bluer than the big blue sky?
There's the big blue world, right? In the big blue world, I'm gonna go explore.
We're keeping that.
No, we're not.
Boom, bada boom, ba boom. Okay.